interpreting some of these papers, like the PNAS paper regarding the reverse transcriptase from Rudy Janisch, who has a multi-decade history of over-interpreting retrovirology and publishing irreproducible findings. So that's my parting gentle comment, is that we do have to be really careful not to provide opportunities for our haters to attack us. If I could say one last thing also in parting, I'm out of time, but one of the lessons coming out of our Maori intervention in working with activist groups there is the logic of think global and act local. And I really think that we, both you folks in Canada in particular, but also the United States, what we're seeing is the profound failure and collapse of the kind of medical industrial pharmaceutical complex.
Yes.
And the question that bedevils me is, what does it look like on the other side? And I suggest it's worth pondering, worth kind of meditating on a little bit. What does that future look like? And I believe that if there's a silver lining here, and I'm desperately trying to find a silver lining to this Shiza show, but if there's a silver lining, if it prompts communities to begin to build capabilities within your community to support your fellow citizens, and with things like what we worked out in Maui was, number one, information. People love to have, especially older people that aren't internet savvy, they love to have a document in their hands. And this is really effective in fighting the fear. Part of what's driving the fear, which is driving all this irrational behavior, is that people feel like they're lost. And I commend the doctor in his journey to try to help people to understand the science. But they feel lost, hopeless, helpless. I mean, this is the definition for clinical depression. And particularly the elders. And giving them a document like the FLCCC Early Treatment Protocol, which is a two-pager, it's pre-formatted for publication, can really make a difference. They just have something tangible in their hands. So information and education are crucial. Then I suggest that within your various communities, setting up call groups so that you can identify people that are becoming infected or at risk for infection, high risk for infection, and stay in touch with them. And if the treatment there is anything like the States, and I believe it is, there's the strong pressures not for physicians not to provide early treatment. And patients basically go to the hospital, get told, come back when you're really sick and your lungs are trashed. And a lot of them just go home kind of depressed and alone and die and self-isolate. That's a huge tragedy. And it's particularly prevalent in the First Peoples all across the world.
Yep.
And so finding ways to build community, stay in touch with people, get them care when they need it, get packages of medications to them, encourage them to get their vitamin D levels, etc. Then the last thing that I'm encouraging is designed to fight the fear, which is, remember that for most of us, our risk for death and disease, hospitalization from this virus, is a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of 1%. And people don't realize it. They're so intimidated by all the fear and the fear porn in the press. They think they're going to die from this thing if they get it, or they think their kids are going to die from it. They're absolutely not, unless they're one of the really high-risk groups. So what you can do there is encourage people to get on one of these online calculators and determine their actual risk. And when they see that their actual risk is tiny, 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 then that gives them more comfort too. So there's my parting comments and an attempt to give your community some gifts. Be aware that there is multiple international organizations, including within Canada, Tess Laurie's organization, that are in your organizations that are coalescing and starting to create decentralized communities, which I think is what we all want these days. I think we've absolutely lost our trust in centralized power pretty much all over the world. We're here in the States, we're coming down to three or four larger organizations that are kind of organizations of organizations. And push to jab the kids is really activating people all across the political spectrum. And suddenly it's bringing together right-wing and left-wing people, because one thing we can all agree on is we don't want our kids jabbed. That's pretty universal.
Yeah. So can I interject when you have a chat when after you're speaking?
Yeah, that's my parting comments.
Yeah, it's his parting comments. I first and foremost, I just want to thank you so much, Dr. Malone, for coming on here. I look forward to doing anything I can to help you. I hope that you and Dr. Negassi will trade your information. Also, I hope that you and Ted Koontz will be in touch, as I know that Ted Koontz works very closely with Dr. David Martin, and I know that Dr. Malone here, Dr. Koontz, is adamant on making sure he gets accountability from these people out there. And so I do think that putting Dr. Malone and Dr. Martin together would be an ideal thing to do, and I can guarantee that you will have the support of an entire nation up here in Canada behind all your actions in holding these people criminally responsible for the damage that they're doing to our people across the border and at home. So thank you so very much. I love the work you're doing. You are an outstanding example of integrity, and I'm so blessed.
Thanks. That's a big word. And thank you, Lana, for your kind comments. We actually have a document coming out that somebody wrote in Hawaii and applied the name the Malone Doctrine. And it's you used a key word. It's all built around the concept of integrity.
Yes.
And that's what's missing here. So that's my parting shot. And I wish you all luck. And I look forward to corresponding in the future. Okay.
Thank you so much. Rena?
Thank you, Dr. Malone.
Before you go away, Dr. Malone, I'm in Florida, and I had a bad cold last week, and I called a doctor here on a Zoom call, and I'm holding in my hand right here, if you can see it, a prescription for ivermectin. And I on a Zoom call, without having a COVID test, just from my symptoms, he prescribed it. I had it within an hour at a pharmacy here in Florida. So I don't know if this doctor could be of any help to you, because this is what's being prescribed here. That's number one. And the second thing I wanted to mention is, in Israel, the Beis Din, which is the highest court of the Orthodox Jewish court, has had a big 8-hour Zoom call themselves, and they rabbi/judges decreed that none of the children should be vaccinated, and that it would be against their religion. Just so you know, that is the highest Israeli religious court that has determined that they're not allowed to jab the children. So that's the rabbi's decision.
That's great.
And if it's great. The doctor would like to have a contact of the doctor that prescribed this to me here in Florida, maybe he can be of some assistance to your case.
I think that's a great idea to put them together. I think that, and I'd like to say this to all the doctors everywhere out there that are viewing this, because I do know that the World Doctors Alliance is going to be sharing this video out. I know that InfoWars Canada is sharing this video, and I'm so grateful for your participation in doing so. And yes, you can look forward to more videos coming. Vlad and I and Rena as well will be doing a video probably next week with, as you see her in the comments, Dr. Lana Nicole. I've actually gotten, I'm getting quite close to this lady. I think that she is a beacon of light out here in the West, out here in Alberta. And she's really pushing forward in a very assertive and beautiful way, and really getting through to a lot of people out there what is actually happening here and how ridiculous it is. And so I'm not going to give too much away, but what I will do is I will give a little bit of ear porn to our viewers out there that there is a criminal case that has been filed. And you'll learn about it next week when Lana gives me the date that she's ready and we put the team together. And I'd love to bring Daniel in on that call as well. So he could, yes, yeah, everybody's going, yeah, Lana, Nicole, see, I told you, darling. We're going to move forward, guys. Everybody out there in Canada and in the United States and Australia and in all around the world, you need to know, we know that Canada is supposed to be an example for other nations to follow, an example of humanitarianism, an example of peace, an example, you know, to everyone on what path is the best path to take towards evolution. It's a lot of pressure for this country. And we're going through a very difficult time up here. We have a prime minister who has been guilty of an obscene amount of crimes since he has taken office. We have the most corrupted institutions that we have ever had before in this entire country, and I mean on every single level, but we do have long-term solutions. And so Vlad, myself, and a team and network of Arena and a team of network of others from across this country have developed a new association. It's called the Canadian Democratic Defense Association. Now, the difference between an association and an organization is that we are not here to give out directives. We are here to facilitate and ensure that access to resources is available for all of the everyone, all the groups and organizations and nonprofits within our civil rights network across this entire country, so that we can ensure that everyone's actions come to fruition, whether it be through courts, public demonstration, or behind the scenes with medical paperwork, or protecting your jobs. So, we do have a long-term plan for this country, because the truth is this: the root problem did not start with COVID. The root problem started with a system that does not serve the people in this country. Okay, and I'm just going to briefly go over this, and I'll let us take the conversation right back to Dr. Negassi and Ted and Sherry. But I just want to make this very clear to all our viewers out there. Canada has the ability right now to build a constitutional republic where the authority lays in the hands of the people. And we can remove the crown, the corruption, and every single one of these self-serving backroom dealing politicians, and really build a proper society where we can feel comfortable passing on and leaving our children behind in, you know, with the integrity of people like Dr. Daniel Negassi, Dr. Lana Nicole, you know, Sherry Strong, Ted Koontz, you know, and every single founder of every single one of our organizations, both civilly and politically out there, that have now developed across this country. This is an opportunity that is not going to last very long. You know, we are facing a global giant here. This is not just a domestic problem. And the global giant is not just the United Nations. It's all the member states who require the access to the resources that this country can provide. Most Canadians don't realize that Canada is the richest country in resources in the entire world. We're the only country that can sustain itself without needing any sort of trade from any other, whereas every other country on earth requires something from us to survive. Now, this is a fact. And there is a reason why our Indigenous, and I will speak on this for a moment, as an ambassador for Anishinaabeg, Soul Tree, and Métis Indigenous Nation. I'm an internationally recognized ambassador, okay? And our Indigenous people have been stuck on reserves, genocided, forced into oppressions and disgusting treatment since the conquering of the British Crown in Canada, because the Crown is a corporation and can never own a lodial title to the lands until every bloodline of every signatory tribe is extinct. So I'd like Canadians to sit on that and then think about our missing and murdered women, and think about the residential schools, think about the poisoned waters of all these reservations over just the last 6 to 10 years. And, you know, and start contemplating what kind of a future you want for your own children, because the oppressions that you're feeling right now in our Canadian society with your kids in schools and yourself and your jobs is just the tip of the iceberg of what our Indigenous tribes have been feeling for 150 plus years. So with that said, we do have solutions and we are accepting donations. And I'm not one to like to ask the public for money, but we have a quite the agenda ahead of us. And we do intend to close the deal when it comes to the constitutional conventions that have been taking place for 40 years in Alberta, Manitoba, and Saskatchewan. We require a certain percentage of the population to vote on a draft constitution in order to seat a new judiciary in this country. And we intend to achieve it. We intend to achieve it within the next year, 2 years. And I will commit to knocking on every single door of every single house in this country to do so. As you know, I've been one of the most committed people across this entire nation to our sovereignty and to our freedom. And I hope I would have your support. So if Ed and Derek, if you could throw info at candda.ca up on the screen. This is an email address where we're accepting donations for now. The website is under construction. You can also donate at freedomloverscanada.com. And I'll speak more about this later. Let's take the conversation back to our doctors and all our medical people, and because all of this ties in together. But we need to build a future where we can feel comfortable passing away and leaving our children in. So please, guys. Vlad.
Well, I want to bring on Sherry and Ted Kuntz to share some of the things that was discussed by Dr. Malone and Dr. Nagasa so far. Maybe Sherry, if you can take the lead first and kind of share some of the things that are on your mind right now, and then Ted Kuntz next, please.
The big concern for me, obviously, with Children's Health Defense Canada is, you know, does this mRNA technology, these vaccines, the fact that they're putting heart medication into it, does the spike protein present more risk to children? I know we don't have any long-term studies. We don't even have even proper short-term studies.
No.
What do we know now that perhaps train we can wake up, you know, parents? Because I spoke at the school board, the Edmonton school board, you know, on their public forum today. And literally that fact-resistant phrase that you use, Dr. Nagase, is like, you can see their eyes are glazed over, and it's, they couldn't wait to push that button of your time is up. So we would love information that possibly can actually penetrate and go through people who have literally been brainwashed by this agenda.
You know, when I was the last month of medical school at Dalhousie, we had the option to take a fun medical course. And I took a 1 week course in medical hypnosis put on by one of the emergency doctors in Halifax. And one of the things that struck me is all over the hospital, I see these stickers and signs, and they always start with the same phrase, do your part. And then it's followed by a command, wear a mask, or do your part and get the vaccine, or do your part and wash your hands. But the first part of the phrase always seems to be the same and repetitive. And this reminded me a bit about hypnosis theory, where you have something that's repetitive to get people to turn off the critical thinking parts of their mind. So whether that's something like a pendulum swinging or a repetitive phrase, except it's no longer in a hypnosis session, it's out in the real world. You're seeing these repetitive phrases over and over and over again. And these repetitive phrases are followed by a command, right? And there's a thing in hypnosis theory that when you're trying to give a hypnotic suggestion to someone's subconscious, that you have to use, the best I can describe it is like command language. There's no negatives. It's very simple and it's very direct. So what crossed my mind is what I'm seeing in front of me, all these repetitive messages in front of me, is that not a form of hypnosis? And then the hypnotic suggestion comes after the repetitive phrase. So it's like, stop the spread. And then the command comes afterwards, keep your distance, right? And if that's what we're dealing with, like, how do you unhypnotize? I never took any course in unhypnosis, right? But that's a very, very, for the lack of the better word, diabolical system that's been pushed out on an immense scale in every hospital across all media. So then it makes you think, well, we really are dealing with a Goliath here, a Goliath that has used culture probably over decades, maybe even centuries, to get people, get children so dumbed down that they can't hold a thought that has more than one part in their brain, right? And you look at the American Constitution, you look at Plato, you look at any of the philosophical classics, you even read religious texts, right? And to understand these written works, you have to be able to put thoughts together sequentially. And not only that, you have to be able to hold more than one thought in your brain at the same time to process it. And it seems like the ability to think has been progressively dumbed out through I suspect the education system, such that most people walking around in society are only having just one part thoughts, right? And they're only able to process very simple, very direct language. They aren't able to think things through, because it makes it so hard for me to believe that even people with advanced degrees, doctors, are somehow unable to process things that they should be processing. Well, the numbers aren't adding up. The fourth wave is as big as the third. The difference between the fourth and third wave is vaccination. So obviously the vaccination didn't do anything. But that simple putting two and two together, it seems to be blocked on a massive societal scale. And that's a very difficult thing to overcome. So I'm thinking, you know, in order to reach more people and break through to people, it might be a situation where we have to have very simple, short messages. And I think the idea of reading a constitution to a mind that's been tuned to an attention span of 30 seconds or less, like with TikTok and social media, people aren't going to be able to read through a constitution. They aren't going to be able to hold two thoughts together to say, hey, this really makes sense. This would really give me a lot of freedom. So then I'm thinking, well, what's the most simple basis that I can think of that, like, what can I boil the whole spirit of constitution and freedom down to a single thought? And the best I could come up with, and, you know, I think this is going to have to be a group effort. We're going to all have to think of simple phrases we can say. No one should rule over the body of a woman or man except for the woman or man herself.
Yep.
Right? And something that simple is germane if you can turn it into an entire system of law. So, you know, you take that simple principle, you shouldn't rule over the body of another person, then you can expand that, like, let's say someone's committing assault, injecting you with a poison. Well, what is that person doing? That person is ruling over your body with a needle to inject you with a poison. So by first principles, if you go back to that very first idea, no one should rule over the body except the person, him or herself, then that seems to be valid. And then there comes the idea, well, you want to throw a more complicated situation into the mix, because really you want to make sure you test an idea before you put it out into the world. So what if you had a situation where someone was coming to attack and murder your children, and then you have to rule over or overrule the body of that attacker to prevent them from doing harm to your children? So then what makes that use of force to overrule the body of an attacker justified? Well, the justification is the application of reason. So no one should overrule the body of another unless it's with reason, right? There's a reason to do something. So then I'm thinking perhaps this simple idea can be expanded gradually as people rediscover their ability to think from a very simple idea that even a child can take. And it can be expanded into a system of law, a system of understanding, so that, you know, even the most media stupefied minds can start to wake up.
Well, I agree with you 100%. So, and we need to have a more direct approach. We have different demographics all over Canada. And, you know, and we have specific key people, and Vlad can confirm this, and, you know, that speak to different demographics. Like, for instance, Chris Skye, you know, he has certainly gotten the attention of the millennials across Canada and risen them to such a degree. It's insane. You've got everybody from university students to high school students. I mean, my daughter, who was only 15 years old, they call him Buff Adam Sandler. You know, so which is fantastic, and he knows it, but he loves it, right? And that's great. And then you have people with like Vlad who have much more decorum and present themselves in a much more, you know, calm and professional and, you know, manner, and he speaks to a much larger demographic. Myself, you know, I'd say a little similar, but I heavily have a very large female following, and no doubt. You know, like I don't script myself, and when I get angry on a microphone, it's my mother bear absolutely comes forward, and I'm so grateful for that. And considering the majority of our population are female, I say, rise, lady, rise, ladies, let's go, get to town, right? Which is wonderful, but we definitely need to counter the narrative in a different way, because, you know, as everybody out there in Canada knows, we've had a $600 million media bailout, and just $100 million was just injected again a few months ago, you know, but we still, the best form of advertising, even to date, is still word of mouth. Not even the internet can compare. And that's because it comes with a human factor. Anybody want to clue in? Vlad?
Sorry, yeah, definitely the conversations that I always empower people to have. You never know, with a single conversation you can change somebody's world, because in that moment that's all that person has, and you just never know which conversation will make that mind shift for that person, especially when you're sharing perspectives or somebody else's experiences. I think Lana was mentioning in the comments, you know, in the state that we are in terms of being brainwashed and conditioned, we have to focus more on emotional triggers to kind of snap people out of that trance state that they are. So a lot of times actual facts and data are not going to work, but personal experience, yourself or someone who you know, whose legitimate experience, will potentially help people move in that direction. And with that, I would like to give Ted an opportunity to share, you know, because obviously leading organization for 40 years almost in this country, people sharing the experiences of suffering from injuries and being silenced for so many years. I don't think there's a better organization and representative that can share the power of a conversation that people can have in their local community. So Ted, if you can share that and anything else, please.
Thanks, Vlad, I appreciate that. You know, I think that we're actually seeing a positive transformation of humanity. I know we can look at all of the egregious violations and move into a place of despair. But, you know, from the perspective of vaccine risk, prior to COVID, there was a very small percentage of the population that even questioned the vaccine paradigm. And now I would say it's 30, 40, even 50% are now questioning what they've been told. But I want to go back to how we got to this place. And yes, I absolutely believe that there's a spell happening. I think there's very sophisticated technology that has captured humanity, but it didn't start 2 years ago. And I think the piece that I'm recognizing is that, and I'll own this myself, is that I didn't take responsibility for protecting the rights and freedoms of this country. I was naively thinking that, you know, we're a free country. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to protect yourself. And we've allowed our institutions, our governments, our regulatory agencies, our media to be captured and controlled. And one of the things that we're learning, at least what I'm learning, is that the responsibility for freedom in Canada is each of our responsibility. And so we're learning to claim our authority. We're learning to claim our sovereignty. We're recognizing that when we have given away our responsibility to corporate organizations, regulatory agencies, we've made ourselves very vulnerable. And so I think there's an important transformation that's happening, but it's like a birthing process. It's challenging. It's painful. People are getting hurt. And unfortunately, you know, and Kellyanne, you probably know this as well from your experience as a therapist, is, you know, what I say is nobody ever showed up at my office and said, Ted, my life is really good, but I want it to be better. They show up because they're suffering, and the suffering opens them up so that they can begin to receive information that they've been resistant to. So, I hold a beautiful hope that this is part of humanity's awakening, part of our transformation. In my speech in Kelowna last weekend, I thank Bonnie Henry, who's our provincial health officer, for giving us this opportunity. You know, we talked about David Martin, and he has exposed, the clear evidence that this has been in the planning for a long time. He gave a speech on Friday for the Western A. Price Foundation, and it was an amazing speech. It had all of the evidence that he typically is famous for. But at the end, he said, this comes down to our human relationships. And ultimately, it's you and I in human conversation, holding love, that is going to transform this planet and make it a better place.
Yeah, no, 100% that I agree with what you just shared. And I same thing. I believe this is an opportunity like never before in the history of humanity to be awakened to the truth and realizing that we've been duped for way too long. Sure, I agree. You know, the indoctrination in schools. Again, I share often, I represent the last generation of kids growing up in Soviet Union. So I was indoctrinated into the religion called communism. And like literally since birth, you know, I didn't come from a fanatical communist family. The environment did that with schools, with books, with TVs, with movies, etc. And now what we're experiencing is I call it COVIDism. That's the new religion, right? That comes with all the bells and whistles, and kids get indoctrinated. They have masks culture. They wear masks outside. Nobody has to do it, but we do it just because it becomes part of this new norm that we're imposing on us. And we have to be extremely mindful because I do believe they don't really care that much about us as adults. They have enough adults complying, but the primary target are the children. Because if they're able to indoctrinate the children into the new norm, that's the future that we're all going to live into. No matter how much we like it or not, the reality is enough younger generation going this way, unfortunately, will create this new world that, you know, is definitely something for us to challenge at this stage. So it's very, very crucial for us to be educating everyone and spend as much time as we can and resources on the younger generation primarily, because that's the future that we all living into. So I agree that this is an opportunity for us to seize. And I also think, and we share this often, in conversation, Ted, as well, that the window for us to do something is right now. And it's closing very fast, because at some point the agenda is going to be installed in such a way where pretty much no matter what we do, we can't really change the course. It's like this huge iceberg or Titanic, whatever you want to call it, and it takes a while to change the course, but at some point, it doesn't matter what actions you take, the course will be set in stone, so to speak. So that's why it's important for us to work together, collaborate with as many doctors as possible, and it's great to see a few doctors today, and then obviously there's so many behind the scenes working, and any other organizations coming together to ensure that freedom unites us all. You know, it's a beautiful vision to have, that people of all walks of life, different backgrounds, coming together to protect the kids and ultimately to ensure that we have freedom in this country. And I agree with you, Ted, that we have to take personal responsibility. Freedom is not free. And the price we have to pay is now, because we didn't really pay for it before. All right? Like our grandparents or parents died in the past to make sure that we don't have to show the papers. And here we are again. Right, so it's something for us to realize that we have to be extremely actively engaged, and I guess willing to get uncomfortable is the biggest challenge for most, because we're conditioned to be comfortable, right? The whole society is to seek comfort in any shape or form, and now you have to get uncomfortable to question authority, not to wear the mask, to go somewhere and stand your ground that you're not going to show your papers because you want to eat in a restaurant is uncomfortable. But we have to do it. We have to do it on a daily basis to ensure that our children don't end up living as slaves. And that's really the main point for us.
You know, and that, Vlad is exactly right. And, I want to speak right now to any of the parliamentarians out there, whether you're at the front of the bench or the front of the lines or the back bench. We're about to start making serious changes in this country. So you're at a fork in the road, and you're going to have to decide. Do you want to uphold an oath to a corporation that is designed to destroy the lives of yourself and your loved ones? Or do you want to swear an oath to the people that you pledged, you know, that you built your career upon serving? If you're truly looking to make a change, it's time, the time is now, you know, and we are building, like the Canadian Democratic Defense Association already has the support of 447 organizations that have developed under this pandemic in Canada. And so I would suggest that you reach out to me personally at info@CANDDA and get on board. I mean, myself, Vlad, and a network of other organizations, and I'm going to mention a few because these are resources that people absolutely need access to, from the Children's Health Defense to Vaccine Choice Canada, you know, to Take Action Canada, Action for Canada, The Myth is Canada, Ethics Over Fear, and so many more. We've got La Table Ronde in Quebec and Daniel Pinon. And those are just a few, you know, within the smaller communities. There has been organizations that have risen from Empowering the Children to, Edmonton Freedom Central, Calgary Freedom Central, and so many more. So get yourselves out to the rallies and network. People at these rallies are open to have conversations with everybody. And you know, as far as I've gotten phone calls after phone calls over the last couple of weeks from organizations and groups that I've helped develop or have supported over the last 2 years that are having so much trouble keeping their stuff together. And I'll let you know why, because it's a common complaint. You know, you guys have to stop focusing on yourselves and what's happening and what other people within your groups are doing, and redirect your attention towards the goal of the common collective. And that goal is our freedom. You want to bicker and fight about your differences? Let's win our freedom back first, and then we'll hash it out later. Right now, we have the opportunity to go after these people in a criminal capacity. You know, there's violations of oath of office that have taken place here. You know, there is money that has been exchanged. I mean, the other thing that I wanted to show with that Freedom Forum from freedomforumcanada.com/background_information, that where the repository report is the fact that at the beginning of all this, Vlad, myself, and Chris had met with the lead biomolecular engineer and professor at the Donnelly Center at the University of Toronto. His name is Dr. Sachdev Sidhu. Now, Dr. Sachdev Sidhu, back in May 2020, supplied the government with what he calls a, quote, cure for all symptoms of all coronaviruses. And he was intentionally and knowingly, and I use these terms knowing and fully comprehending what they mean in a court of law, knowingly and intentionally ignored and neglected to even pay attention to his, quote, cure. Now, since then, Dr. Sachdev Sidhu has moved on to develop a synthetic antibody treatment that has been used in Europe, in Italy, and worldwide. And it has saved thousands upon thousands, if not millions of lives. But our government here in Canada refused to even look at what his team has had developed in favor of a $300 million deal with pharmaceutical companies that are guilty of injuring or killing over 500,000 children in India and Africa. And you know, you will hear on these so-called government paid and politically infiltrated fact checkers that this has been debunked. Really? So what these people are saying is that the Pakistani Department of Defense is lying. I highly doubt that the Pakistani Department of Defense, which is one of their most prestigious institutions, is lying to the globe. So, and these are things that you need to take into consideration. So if they're going to pay $600 million to mainstream media outlets and line their pockets to lie to you, but which, by the way, was under the order of a deputy prime minister who is the granddaughter of the man who did the exact same thing in Nazi Germany, the exact same method. That is how they convinced millions of Germans to kill people with a media bailout. Do it for your safety. This is not a joke. This is the most direct way that I could possibly ever explain this. So, you know, Daniel, did you want to clue in? You want to say something about that?
No. Simple message that I think everyone, even the most dumbed down internet mind, can understand. Tyranny can only be defeated with courage. Yeah. Fear is a losing strategy. Just courage. It has to be courage.
Yep.
And this is the, so Okay. I'm going to start on a rant. Stop
me. Go ahead, Daniel. I would love for you to rant. If there's everybody out there. So I also went to Dalhousie, and that's how I actually know who Daniel is. So, I take it very personal, the integrity that he is displaying and the example that he's putting forward, because I do believe that that was also instilled in us in that university, you know, because our professors out there were very, they had integrity. And they actually did care. They cared about science. They cared about medicine. And they cared about taking care of people and making discoveries that are going to help people. And that's the best way I could describe this so that you could understand in a layman's terms. So, yeah, absolutely. I'd go to jail for this man again. Right? So go ahead, Daniel.
No, that paper, whoever this person named Martin sent it to me, wow, what an amazing paper. It blows everything I was talking about on Saturday in my emergency broadcast to PEI just out of the water. Like, I was talking about theoretical dangers. This paper, these scientists already proved in cell culture the absolute danger of just the spike protein. We're not even getting into mRNA and like Dr. Malone said, you know, the reverse transcriptase activity in children is still a theoretical danger. But wow. So this one, yeah. If you have spike protein circulating in your blood, it directly damages and prevents DNA repair. So the cancer risk is basically, it's absolute. Now that this paper's come out, it's been proven that the spike protein alone will cause cancer. It will lead to all sorts of cancer down the road. So it's unbelievable that this one protein, which is in this coronavirus, but even worse than that, it's in the mRNA injections, is so genotoxic, like toxic to the genome. It was unbelievable to me. I was like, wow, these scientists really did an excellent job with this paper, an amazing job with this paper. And this should be front page news. You know, we've already crossed from theoretical danger to absolute danger. And, every single person out there, once you've woken up, it's time to start taking names at the right. School, like who's the principal, who's the vice principal, where do they stand, you know, at the hospital, you know, who is telling you can't enter the hospital without a vaccine, right? You have to take the name of the security guard, you have to take the name of the nurse, you have to take the name of the doctor, you have to take the name of the hospital administrator. I believe is the time to start collecting names, because the information is out there, and there is anyone who is fact resistant, refuses to look at the evidence, we need to start taking names, because I believe Nuremberg, the Nuremberg of the 21st century, is starting now, right? Because there is no way we can start a new society and have this corruption, the hospital administrators, the politicians try and weasel their way into a new society built on true foundations of freedom and love. You know, this is, unfortunately, we're going to have to go through, like Ted said, the pain of the birthing process. It's not going to be easy to create a new society, right? And wow, but that's what we are on the cusp of. We are really on the cusp. And, you know, it's so important to preserve our children, to save our children from this injection, right? Because they're going to be the ones carrying the load of this new society.
May I just chime in on that? So when this first started, I had the sister of a doctor and scientist who works for one of the pharma front runners. She's not willing to come forward because she actually believes her life is in danger. And she basically predicted everything that's gonna happen. This was in May of 2020. But when I asked for an update, she was in the process of wondering whether she was going to be fired because her board, she was saying, what are you going to do when I don't take this vaccine? Because I'm not going to. She says, because I know for a fact that none of them went through proper phase three trials. And she said, I also know for a fact that any one of these injections will bring the cancer that I have in remission back and it will kill me. So definitely can verify that piece, that she's a scientist with many papers written who can actually verify that. But the thing, the curious thing, you know, with journalism, when I studied journalism, is you have to protect your source. And if they're not willing to come forward, you have to respect that, which I do. But I did, when I spoke at the school board today, I did say that we will be taking all of your names. We will actually hold you accountable. We will remember the directives that you've done. And that just because you shirk your responsibility doesn't mean that we will not hold you accountable. So I just wanted to mirror basically what you were saying, Daniel.
Well, yeah, you know what? And that's exactly right. You know, and unfortunately, and we've said this, Vlad and I have had deep discussions about this, especially when it came to We Are All Essential, because, you know, our plan with We Are All Essential was to empower businesses to stay open against the restrictions of these government lockdowns, because every job out there is absolutely essential. You know, the only jobs that aren't really essential in this country are the ones that exist in the House of Commons. You know, and that is absolutely true. I mean, what if they, first of all, they don't serve us. Second of all, they line their pockets. And third of all, they're shutting down our economy, left, right, and center, on behalf of foreign interests and our resources. And that's what this is really about. And they will stop at nothing. They will harm anyone to do it. And that is an absolute abomination to everything it means to be Canadian. And, you know, but this is the truth, is we're going to have to make, unfortunately, an example out of some people that might be good people, of some businesses that might be good businesses, in order for others to comprehend that what they're doing, if you comply with this nonsense, you are participating in your own demise, in the destruction of your future, of the future of your children. You are participating in child genocide. You are participating in genocide of a global genocide. You know, and we've got, we're this, like, and, you know, Daniel, if you can expand on how experimental this stuff actually is, and why it's an issue to even enforce a mandate, I'd really appreciate that.
You know, the short-term risks, especially the myocarditis, it's already been proven.
Yeah.
And yet you have these school boards and provincial health ministers pushing this vaccine on children, when the risk is proven, even if one child dies from myocarditis, which has been proven to occur with these injections, that's a crime. Because you're not saving any children by giving these injections. You're not actually even saving any adults, right? So this is so absolutely criminal. And I hope everyone listening takes the opportunity that when they go to the school, say to the teacher, what's your stand? What is your stance? Are you going to force this experiment because there's no benefit to children? And then go to the vice principal, and then the school board trustee, and make sure you corner them and get their stand on it. And then hold them to it, because you're taking down their names. Because this is, wow, this is such an assault on children.
Yes, it is. And you know what? And I've seen people in the comments, you know, all the time asking, how can we help? How can we help? I'll tell you right now how you can help. You can write right now. You can go on Twitter. You can go on all the social media accounts of the Alberta College of Physicians, and you can demand that they leave Dr. Daniel Negassi alone. You can do that. Show them the support that he has in the public, because I'll tell you something, just like the only thing that makes a law is the support and the compliance of the people. The only thing that makes an institution a valuable institution is the support of the public. Take, threaten the support. Tell them, we're going to build a new institution unless you uphold the oaths, unless you uphold the obligations under contract to deal with us, the people. You have to utilize the we, the people, for what it's worth in this country. And you guys don't realize what, how much power you actually have. There are only six countries left on Earth where the people, like Canada, still retain the full authority over this country. But the more you comply, the easier it is for them to chop down your rights to keep that authority. You know, and I'm telling you this as somebody who has put my life on the line. You want to talk about threats? All night long, my phone was ringing off the hook with threats of on my life and the life of lives of my children. And Vlad will confirm this. We've been dealing with this for 2 years, whether it's Antifa, pharmaceutical companies, government organizations. Guys, I was poisoned with resin and clinically dead just 5 months ago for 3 minutes. They had to inject adrenaline in my back to revive me. Okay? So this is not a joke. Nobody's in this for attention. We're in this because it is a very serious thing. And you know, I do comprehend that maybe a lot of Canadians, you know, when they get their spring breaks and stuff, and they'll go to the beach to party. They don't go looking for culture. So maybe you don't comprehend the actual danger that we're facing. So listen to your neighbors. Because this country is built on immigrants that fled the kind of danger that we're actually facing. Go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to answer this question from Doug Gray. Sure. So if you've had a bypass and you have carditis, then the mRNA injection is going to make the inflammation worse. Because I've seen a couple of cases just in the first couple of months of this year. This was out in St. Paul, Alberta, so the Northeast. Just inflammatory vasculitis, just unknown, just completely out of the blue. And this was within a week or two of getting the second injection. I mean, there is nothing that I've seen things that were theoretically impossible, like a superior mesenteric vein thrombosis. Who ever heard of that? It's never been in any textbook that I've read. And yeah, just there's such ridiculous things. And You know, of course, there's other people who are like, oh, I'm fine. I had both injections. And it seems to me there's different batches going to different places. In the northeast of Alberta, it was all thrombosis and vasculitis side effects. In southern Alberta, I didn't see anyone with side effects. So it's really Russian roulette. And mm-hmm. You have to think that if this is such a large, concerted global, a globally coordinated event, the amount of money behind it is immense. And they probably are running tests with different concentrations, different adjuvants. You know, some are placebo and some are not placebo. I don't know what's going on behind the curtain, right? But from what I see with my eyes that I've observed just in my own practice, there's different side effects in different places in Alberta. And to me, the simplest explanation for that is that there's different batches of vaccine going to different places in Alberta. So again, what is going on behind the curtains? Will a Freedom of Information Act find out what's being done behind the curtains? I don't know. The legalese of the leaked Pfizer documents, it seems to be like bulletproof. They put in every protection that could be afforded themselves. And Justin Trudeau just signed away all our rights. Basically, Pfizer has a carte blanche. They could be putting cyanide in some batches and just laughing away as people drop dead within 15 minutes of their injection. And then other batches could be just saline where people walk away and they feel fine. It's completely unknown. And the fact is that the government, the people that we elected to represent us, signed away our rights.
Right.
There's no accountability.
No accountability, no integrity. Rocco says that there are trillions of dollars needing us to be wrong, those of us that see through the facade. This is a global corporate effort, without a doubt. It's been a long time in planning. And the only thing that's going to stop it is us standing up and refusing to comply and reclaiming our sovereignty.
I do have one thing, an amusing thing. I saw a documentary, an anti-vax documentary, and I read the description to see whether it was pro or for. And I knew clearly it was not for when it said the anti-vax movement, which is heavily financially funded. I was like, okay, it's definitely not telling the truth.
Well, we hold a lot of bake sales, so yeah, I can understand how they got that. So.
Gosh. Yeah, no, it's for sure. Just maybe before we go around closing some thoughts, I just want to ask a question from Dr. Nagasi. In your experience, from whatever knowledge you have, and you just shared even throughout Alberta, there's different side effects people experiencing. But we do see, like I just shared the video earlier today, with several professional athletes, a lot of soccer players, football players, like literally collapsing in the middle of the games, and then so many other athletes. It's interesting that we saw paid actors in China in the beginning of this collapsing in the streets, and you can see how fake this was. And now, unfortunately, we see real people collapsing, and those are people in the top of their prime, professional athletes, experiencing either severe effects or ultimately deaths, unfortunately. And then it's been happening a lot more in the last couple of weeks. Do you think it's gonna just escalate, and we're gonna have mass deaths, unfortunately, happening in our country and around the world where there's been mass vaccination? Or do you think there's just some type of period of time to kind of peak, and then maybe it's going to slow down, in your personal opinion, I guess?
It's hard to say for sure, but there was a British research group that published a paper that was presented at the European Society of Cardiology, and I believe that was in August of this year. And it compared the toxicity to cardiac muscle of just spike protein versus whole coronavirus isolate that they ordered from, what was that organization in Britain? Anyhow, they ordered whole coronavirus from this organization in Britain. And then they tested it on cardiac muscle cells that they harvested from people who were undergoing heart surgery. And so
I think it was the Pure Bright Institute.
Yeah, when the surgeon's doing heart surgery, sometimes they have a little bit of extra heart muscle, and then they usually throw it out, but they collected these samples and tested it. And it turns out spike protein itself is far more toxic to cardiac muscle, specifically the cardiac pericytes. So pericytes are the support cells of the heart muscle cells. They provide immune system, they provide energy, they provide protection to the heart muscle cells. So the spike protein was severely toxic to all the support cells of the heart muscle, whereas whole coronavirus was not. So that getting these spike protein injections, it's diabolical. It's like designed to damage. It's designed to cause both long-term damage and medium-term damage. Never mind the anaphylactic reactions that people have within minutes of getting the injection. Will people start, dropping off? It's hard for me to say for sure, but I think we need to prepare for that possibility.
The NIH said that there's a 50-50 chance that a five-year-old who has mild myocarditis will actually make their 15th birthday. And one of the things I'm very curious to know about is that the myocarditis definitely is affecting men. And if you look at the VAERS reaction, it's 18 is the peak of where their second dose at 18, that's where it's taking most of them out, or they're getting this myocarditis. And I'm curious to know, how are they getting males at 18, like the warriors, the people who would have gone to physical war to defend their country?
Yeah,
they're the ones who are actually getting myocarditis, not the women, so that to me is a fascinating kind of question to explore and understand.
Bodies are still under development even past the age of 18. I mean, especially in athletes who are, Olympic class, who are professional athletes, I suspect their bodies are still developing and growing when they're 25 or maybe even later. And when a body is in development and, it's actually not yet an adult body, it's still growing like a child's body. The expression of proteins and the physiology of a growing body, a growing cell that's still developing, is not the same as a body that's already fixed in a certain phenotype in adulthood. So, I wonder what they're doing. And And you're also looking at the menstrual side effects from these injections. What on earth is in these mRNA coding sequences that's causing the most damage to developing parts of the body, right? So the whole menstrual process is actually a form of differentiation and development. Why is it that these injections are targeting cells that differentiate and develop? It's absolute madness, because they haven't done any of these studies, you know, or released the results of these studies on rats and mice and other